Welcome to The Rework with Allison Tyler Jones, a podcast dedicated to inspiring portrait photographers to uniquely brand, profitably price, and confidently sell their best work. Allison has been doing just that for the last 15 years, and she's proven that it's possible to create unforgettable art and run a portrait business that supports your family and your dreams. All it takes is a little rework. Episodes will include interviews with experts from in and outside of the photo industry, mini workshops, and behind-the-scenes secrets that Allison uses in her portrait studio every single day. She will challenge your thinking and inspire your confidence to create a profitable, sustainable portrait business you love through continually refining and reworking your business. Let's do the rework.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to The Rework. Today's episode is everything high school seniors. And not only what's working now, but where our guest, Nate Peterson, thinks the future is headed for this niche. I'm excited for you to hear about some of the innovations that Nate is making with both his volume work and his high-end luxury clients. I'm excited for you to hear about the changes and innovations that Nate is making in his studio, not only with his volume school work, but also with his commissioned senior portrait clients. He talks about his 8x10 LED wall that he's had installed in his studio, the trend for hype videos, and shares his concerns and hopes for the future of this niche for our industry. Can't wait for you to hear it. Let's do it. I would like to welcome to the podcast studio today a new friend, new to me, but probably not new to our listeners, Mr. Nate Peterson from the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Welcome, Nate. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you, Allison. Very honored and excited to be here.
Okay, so Nate, we've met before, but we met like for real, when I came to TCPPA, Twin Cities Professional Photographers of America, was that like March-ish?
This past March you were here.
Yep. Anyway, and so it was great. Like, what a great group that you guys have there.
Yeah, I think I sometimes take it for granted just that the networking and the monthly, I call them like injections of get out of your box and go reinvigorate and everything. You just go get to be with a community of like-minded people. And we bring in nationally recognized industry speakers and kind of all the great benefits of what those PPA affiliates or network, community network partners groups are. So that's been kind of my secret weapon in the last 15 years of being in this industry.
It was just really a highlight, like just such great people. And you guys have got it so dialed in. So anyway, high compliment to TCPPA and hey to everybody. But we're not here to talk about TCPPA. We're here to talk about you. So what I would love for you to do is just kind of tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, where you are, what you're doing, your niche, all that stuff.
Sounds good. Technically, I'm in Wisconsin, just across the border from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. We specialize, I have a full commercial studio with my wife and I run it full time. This is our only income. We specialize in high school seniors, in volume sports teams like high school volleyball and football and junior hockey leagues and things like that. And then we do commercial headshots and branding images and things like that. So those are kind of where we've niched down to doing what we enjoy the most and where our comfort zone is. We don't have children ourselves. So working with kids and babies and the typical story you hear in this industry where, oh, I had a baby, so I started taking pictures of that and it just grew with it. I don't have that. So
okay.
I am 19 in my head. So working with 17-year-old seniors in high school is just my jam, and I love their language and I love their lifestyles, and I'm getting so old now that it's getting weird to still be.
It's not weird. It's we're all 19 in our head still, even if you've had kids. I think you just don't get much past that.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so there's several things that I have so many questions because we didn't get a chance really to like spend time together and chat because we were busy teaching and doing those things. But so with the senior, let's just talk about that for a second. Do you feel like Have you been shooting seniors that all that time, all the 15 years?
Yes. Yep. Okay. That's kind of sports, action sports is where it started for the high school kids. And then that turned into team photography. And then finally, 2 years in, maybe one of the hockey players said, do you do senior pictures? And sure, I'll figure that out. So that was kind of where it started. And that was probably closer to 20 years ago, because those first 5 years, I don't really count. That was on the side of the career and everything.
Nate, you should totally count them. You're 20 years in. Okay. So what have you seen? Like, is there an arc, or what have you seen with senior portrait photography over that time? Like, has there been a change? Has there been a shift? I'm sure there've been many. Like, just what are your thoughts?
I came into the industry in like 2008. So those 5 years before that, I don't count. I met some great people through After Dark, through TCPPA, through PPA, all the places and the things I learned from Ralph Romaguerra and Julia Keller and you and many people about the way this industry teaches you to do it the best. And this is almost like it's funny that the carpet's been ripped out from under, it feels like, because I think we have succeeded at the proper way, like the way Tim Walden does things and the way we do it on the top level. And now the trends I see are the imperfections. And I just got the newest, throw Vogue under the bus here, but the last two issues of Vogue, the cover image is not what I would really view as super high-end photography. It's like they're bringing down the level. And I think that's what I see with kids and even what their personal posts are. They're blinking, they're blurry, they're right. They strive for imperfection so much that they try to make it imperfect. So we've built this pro level business, and 10 years ago we were on top of the world, and there's a slight decline this year, but I think that's more economic than it is trend. So what we do kind of to differentiate ourselves from the other, there's a million senior photographers. So we do something called the Grand Experience, where we really get to know our client, sit down and talk about their passions, what's their story, things like that. And then we put together this ultra session, like 3 to 6 hours, and go to all their places, do the studio stuff, do everything. And then they get an album, and those albums can get to be up to 70 toward 90 images sometimes, with 20 plus spreads in them. And it's like their life story. And my mission is that their grandchildren see this album someday and just think like, man, I think it would be so cool to see my grandparents' album.
Oh yeah.
You were on the football team and had the leather helmet and the whatever. What was life like back then? Some kids collect butterflies or collect Legos or things like that. So it isn't always just athletes. It's whatever that unique thing is about each kid. And that keeps me inspired. So it's like every time I'm working with a different subject, it's the story changes and the locations change. And so it's always a challenge and keeps that fresh and fun. So,
okay. I have questions. Yeah. Let's go back. Okay. You said carpet ripped out from under. So quantify that statement. What, you just breezed past that, and I need to know about the carpet being ripped out.
Yeah. I got master's certification, Craftsman, all the things, built the IPS studio. And now I think the biggest population of the consumer base wants none of that. They want a quick hour in a field of daisies at sunset and just give me the files. No service level, no certifications, no, none of that matters. So the biggest shift away from business is that high school kids know cameras just as well as 20-year experts do. So
when they know Photoshop, they're learning it.
We're getting
okay. So a couple of things. So one is that they know the tech. So it's no longer a barrier to entry. Like, I'm sitting here with my RZ on a 25-pound tripod, and you have no idea how this works, and this is what we're going to do, right? I feel like what you were talking about, how they like this imperfection, I feel like that's been going on for a while. Don't you feel like even like 10, 15 years ago, it was the Urban Outfitters, the lens flare, the brown filter, like this kind of imperfection, or the on-camera flash, like the really gritty, looked like it was being taken in a heroin den. And I think with AI coming, AI is so perfect that I do think that there is going to be a rush to like imperfection and seeing, like you're saying, like the blur, the whatever, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily in the wrong hands. It's not good.
True. Yeah. And I think I see it so much with the Instagram in my face, so much in their world. But yes, that actually is very comforting to hear. Yeah. When you look back at those imperfections, they were just different imperfections back to 15 years ago. And those were when things were building and things were going great. So yeah, if they've been there.
Well, and even back in, like, I graduated, oh my gosh, I'm going to date myself. I graduated in 1982. So obviously there was no digital then. I was high school yearbook editor, and I was shooting all of my friends' senior pictures, and there were photographers in town that were not happy about that. So that has been going on forever, right? Yeah. So I think that can calm us a little bit, like when we feel like carpet is being ripped. I think that can calm us. The other thing is, I love what you said about what my seniors want is they want an entire experience and an entire story. But your seniors aren't the ones that are like, look, 20 minutes in a field, give me 100 files, let's be done. So right. You know who your client is.
Yes.
Right. There's just not as many of them as there are field people that want $200.
Yep. Yeah. And I think me and my inner circle of industry friends, we talk about the 20%, the 80-20 rule, and it's shrinking to 15% or 10%. And what we found even this year, the silver lining is we don't have as many as we have in past years, but the ones that we have had are up. So it's actually a good thing. It's the entrepreneur in me is worried about when does it become too small, or when...
When are you doing one session?
Yeah, too many
for $900,000. And then you can just go home.
Yeah, that I guess that is the goal, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Wouldn't it be? But I think these are the things that a lot of times I want to have this conversation with you, because what the conversation sounds like on Facebook, or what it sounds like with other people, what I'm overhearing is it's all going to hell in a handbasket. Nobody wants this anymore. We're doing it wrong. And that's not the case. Like, I don't know why we think that there's going to be come a time where we have certainty, because there's just never been that in any business ever. There's always been a problem somewhere. Politically, war, 9/11, like there's 2008, like there's just always been something.
Yeah. I think that's, again, calming to think too, because I think the perspective I come from is along the journey, it's this build. When you're building and going uphill, it feels amazing. Nothing can stop you.
Yeah.
And you're always searching for the day, I guess, like you say, the day of certainty when, okay, we're going to get to the top of this plateau or this mountain and like just ride for a while. Like we built a system and now we just repeat it and we're not, but that never really happens if you're on top of your game. You're constant innovation. LED lights are my new jam right now. So it's like,
I love it.
What are we doing to stay fresh and stay changing when there's this other half of you, the Facebook half, sitting there going, it should be easier than this, but
no,
it shouldn't. It's just get excited about the change again.
Well, I think the senior is a particularly difficult niche, in my opinion, because you kind of, I mean, barring brothers and sisters, younger brothers and sisters, you really are having to like kill what you eat every single year. Like you got to get new. Now, with you, you've got this team, you've got this in with these sports teams and that kind of stuff. So you're right in front of those kids, which I think is freaking genius. And you hear the words they're saying, like you're in that world. And the thing that's great about that is that a lot of times, like when you were talking about earlier about like, you know, oh, I had a baby and then you came into the industry and you kind of grew up with your clients as you're growing up with your kids. The benefit that you have of not having the kids is that you are just staying relevant with the current kids all the time. That's a really, I think that's a superpower. This wasn't meant to be a counseling session for you, but I just am like, I think, oh my gosh, you guys have such advantage, really.
That's great to hear it from that perspective too, because sometimes it's not relatable, or you actually think of the, well, this person, their kid, this photographer in another area, their kids are coming into high school. They're going to be the trend for a while.
Yeah.
But we're always sitting in that trend area.
You are. You know exactly what is cool and what's not cool. And
yeah,
I love that for you. Okay. So it's been I've heard from a lot of photographers, and for us too, our session count is down a little bit this year, but our averages are higher for our business. I can't quantify that, like, because I don't have a 3-year trend, right? This is just a 1 year.
Exactly.
So I think that there's some things we were just talking about. What do you feel like is contributing to that in your opinion?
Well, yeah, this is the first year it will experience a down. Even with COVID, there was a portion of the year that was down, but then the fourth quarter made up for it. The
COVID
appreciation
was, awesome.
Was off the chart for what
yeah.
we did. Yeah, so
totally.
Yeah, this is the first year in 15 years that the we're going to start downward a little bit. As of right now, with the fourth quarter still happening, it looks like it could be a significant chunk. My go-to is I've had a few people tell me that the amount of babies this year, 17 years ago, was smaller due to 2008.
Okay.
So
that, interesting.
That class sizes are a little smaller in some of the high schools. That doesn't stat out perfectly with all the schools I work with, but that
right.
kind of is like, okay, so in there's less kids to begin with. AI is a portion of it. You can make things pretty darn cool without a graphic design degree and things like that.
Yeah.
But I know myself, and just talking on any luxury level or eating out, boating, things like that, the economy right now, the uncertainty of things, consumer confidence is a tracked stat that is officially down right now, like at a low point in the last long time. So I don't have it in front of me exactly what it is, but that
yeah.
has to be, you talk to people and beef prices are up or rent or
food.
A lot of those things our clients
everything.
Aren't dealing with, but that we are competing for disposable income like we haven't in the last 10 years. And it's on people's minds. So it's hard to calm them into why this is a necessary expense when there is a $200 field photographer out there. This is a great way to take that portion of dollars. And so you really got to sell. This is a once in a lifetime. Don't let this be the thing you sacrifice.
For sure. I agree with all of that. I have so many thoughts. I just feel like 20 years in, this is my 20th year. And then I had a business before that for like 14 years. I just feel like there's always something. And I feel like we do create our own weather. And there are realities. There's, I mean, 2008, there is no question. That was real, real, real. I also went into like studio space in 2009, which, and that the photographer that I admired and loved in town, who was like the schnizzle, like everybody, he was the guy, came swanning through my studio, like looking down his nose. I mean, oh, interesting time to go into retail when the whole entire financial crash happens. Interesting time. And I mean, I literally went home and was just like, what am I doing? Oh my gosh, you know? And then he would call me like on the regular quarterly. Oh, well, so-and-so. They closed their studio. Kay Eskridge closed her studio. You know, I mean, he would just like the harbinger of death.
Yeah.
And like, and I'm like, what are you trying to do? So I just think there are always going to be those people. And there are also realities, but I do feel like you've done it right. You guys have done it right. And I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah. I don't fear not being fine. I guess I should put that out there.
Yeah.
I crave the easier path, or like the where's the
yeah,
next
totally.
Level entrepreneur when you hire somebody and they do your work for you and all
yeah.
that. But I don't think that's not realistic. Entrepreneurship is it's a battle, and it's
yeah.
but it's invigorating, because the alternative is go sit at a desk and
work
do
for
it somebody,
somebody
else.
Else
and yeah
yeah no we're, so. We've already been ruined for that. Yeah. And I think as a creatives too, we're creative in coming up with all of the ideas for our clients, but we're also really creative in coming up with all the things that are going to go wrong.
That's another yeah because
yeah.
somebody said creativity doesn't mean art all the time. It means creative problem solving, and that you are best at solving. All right, you're down this year, you have a quarter to go, what's your solution here? And you
yeah.
come up with some ideas. And that's what we're actually this is the slowest September I've ever had, but it's freed my mind up to look at what's possible, which
yes.
we've kind of been just stuck in the rat race for forever. So time is this gift of being able to go in and really evaluate and come up with some creative solutions to, all right, do we want to fill the gap in revenue, or is this new revenue level really where we should be? Have we been overdoing it and now scale back and we don't need that extra whatever. That's anti-entrepreneurship, but it's life.
Well, it's anti-American. I mean, truly, it is. Like, if you're a European, like, we would not even be having this conversation. Like you'd have a cigarette between your hands and, like, a bottle of wine next to you and be like, what's the problem? I don't know. I don't understand what you're saying, right? But we just think that there's never enough and there's always got to be more. And if you aren't dying, you aren't trying, right?
Yeah. Well, that lifestyle creep of, I never, in my previous career, I never would have imagined the lifestyle we're living now. That just wasn't in the cards for the wages we made.
Yeah.
And this industry and this life and this what we've built has provided the next level. And now it's, but rather than just enjoy where we were and have no worries, we creep up. We added some new expenses to our life. We do these things that we expect higher now. So it's like, yeah, it's somewhere in between there is the happy point. But I
love what you just said about how, like, okay, this is a slower time, but rather than sit and twist in the wind on that and be in the fetal position, you're thinking, you know what, actually, we have actually been working ourselves to the bone. Maybe we could just enjoy this time and also think of some creative solutions. So with that, what are some of the things that you're thinking about?
Well, this opportunity came into my life in January. I think just before you came, I was talking about there's something called virtual production where The Mandalorian and a lot of things you can start once you realize that you can see them in commercials. They're not really in that location. There's a screen behind them. So in the old days, it would have been photography with a projector, or even that there was a virtual background system that fired a projector flash behind. But I have a 8-foot by 10-foot LED wall now in my studio. So I can build an environment with an AI software in seconds. I need a spaceship with wolves on the benches and a pink highlight and whatever. And something like Midjourney will come up with this image or set of images. I can refine it to where I need it and then throw it up on the screen. And I have any backdrop I want instantaneously. And the first 6 months of the year, it was really hone in that, what are the settings? There's something called pixel pitch and all sorts of technical junk that you need to work out so you don't have a Murray pattern in the back.
Yes.
Things like that.
I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the tighter the pixel pitch, the more expensive the LED wall is. So mine is middle grade. So you have to do a few things to make it work versus The Mandalorian was probably $1 million LED wall. Mine was not that much.
Yeah.
But
next year.
Yeah, that's what Teresa's afraid of. As this flies.
As well she should be.
I'm going to want the next one.
You know what, Nate? You didn't have kids to send to college. So you need $1 million LED wall.
I agree. I think I need a much bigger studio. I need all,
right.
Lifestyle,
you need all the toys. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that has been a fun, my previous career was in tech. So I love the technical aspect of being a photographer. I probably wouldn't have been a photographer back in the film fixer, smelly chemicals days, and math. It's easier to dial in little settings and what you see is what you get and things like that. And so that LED wall with AI plus the taking over of constant lights that can be RGBWW, so any color you want at the click of a phone remote is super cool.
So cool.
So, that is setting us apart again. So it feels like off-camera flash in 2009. This is the new thing. So for the sports teams, that's propelling hype videos and just different. So they want social sports teams are becoming like the high school level are becoming like the pros or like the colleges. It all cycles down to the high school where their social media plan right now looks as good as the pro teams. And they have the manager on the team is putting these graphics together. So there's a demand for content and we are building that plan to work with them on how do we create this for you? That's way beyond you guys just capturing stuff in the gym or on the field.
So cool. Well, and that's just something that they are not going to get. Some kid with a camera is going to be able to do that for them.
Correct. And that's what downtime or time to, when we say don't downtime, we don't, as a creative entrepreneur, you don't like, that doesn't mean Netflix and chill or take a nap.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like think and process what's possible. What are the trends? And
well, it might mean a little bit of that. It might not be that little bit of Netflix.
Sure.
As for me in my house, there's some Netflix going on over here.
Yes.
But you're right.
We have one episode of Wednesday left.
To me, it's just like the negative spiral. Like I can't let myself do it. Like I feel it. I feel the, you know, when something happens and you're like, okay, is this going to be okay? But I just can't let myself go there because I have to make it work.
Yes. Yeah. We don't.
You and I are the same.
Yes.
There's no other. I can't go work for somebody else. I can't.
No,
I am unemployable.
On the deepest, darkest days, it seems like that would just be, there's easier ways to make money. And you like, yell about it. And then the reality is, yes, I think we would last 4 hours and be like, I don't get why you're making me do this way. I have to invent a different way of doing
fired.
It.
And
then
you'd
be fired.
Yeah, then we'd be on unemployment. And it's not, it's not a good idea.
No.
Not a good idea. Okay, so LED AI, you're like, so that's kind of, you're pushing the envelope, really exploring like what all the options are that, but it sounds like, not only are you doing that, you're kind of teasing that to the schools and the teams and like, okay, this is where we're headed. So you're leading them. You're not waiting for them to tell you.
It's a balance because there is a hype video trend happening that I feel like, oh, I should have been listening to those video classes more. And so I'm playing a little bit of catch up, but at the same time, trying to eclipse all of it in one big leap. So yeah. Yes.
Okay. Then also, I think with you seniors, I do think there is a mom, what I would call a classicist or a traditionalist. There are traditionalist moms and they're in every generation. So it's not baby boomers, Gen X, millennial. Now there are millennials moms that have high school seniors.
Yes.
Who are traditionalists, who want the finished product and they want something that looks good. They want something like I find that my senior clients, and we just do very minimal senior, but they will still hire the kid in the field. They're still paying for that, but they're also paying us.
Okay.
So they'll hire that kid for their kid. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah. Nate, my 18-year-old has a friend. He wants to go out and go in the field. It's never a guy. It's a girl that wants to be out in the field twirling in her white cowboy boots. Cause that's the thing. Right. And her lashes. And then the mom wants me because she knows she wants it to have lasting power. Do you see that?
Yes. Kind of slightly different that it's interesting. You say there are traditionalists in each generation. Cause I think that's the thing that's shrinking the most. It's with youth comes more knowledge of do-it-yourself computer, all the things that
sure.
we specialize in, or that we are able to do for you. They are able to do it as well, and they don't value, they're like, just give me the files and I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
If it can save me. But there are the busy executive professionals, the people that are more left brain professional side are, I want it done. And I've paid to have graphics done because that's my degree. I'm fine with it, but time is more valuable. So if mm-hmm. somebody who's on trend with what I need is going to do it, I think the professionals recognize that. So the way I see that thing play out is, or that situation is that we'll do senior portraits to instill a confidence and to build a self-image of these people that the biggest generation that needs it. And then after that, I see them go out and do more pictures with those people, their friends and whatever, but still their official senior portrait is what we did. Their book lasts forever, things like that. But now they're more photogenic and they do field shoots and sunset shoots and all the things I really don't do a lot of because I'm not going to go out at 9 o'clock at night or whatever. So it's more for fun at that point for them.
Right. Because, to Greg Daniels' point on an earlier episode when he was talking about how if we're so focused on experience and it's not wrapped around a product, you're basically, it's like the photo is the little thing that gets printed out at the end of the roller coaster ride.
Yep. I always say the pictures are a byproduct of the experience. Like, you don't want to be truly just an experience because you have like, that's like going to Six Flags or something like that. We're not a ride. This isn't a thing you do just for the experience. It's part of the value is this byproduct as well. But the combo of the two is this perfect package where, and the real byproduct or like the mission underneath it all is instilling a self-image and helping these kids build a confidence about themselves, learning to make decisions on what the good photos are versus the other ones,
yes.
helping plan out the day so that everything's executed and we're not just standing there wondering what to do next. It's kind of a transition to adulthood mini moment, I like to think of it as.
Yeah, for sure. For them and for their parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah, I think with the senior, just some of the things that I'm just thinking about is there is that idea of that traditional where they do want the finished product, but then they also want it to look cool. Like they don't want it to look like their family, like the moms don't want it to look like their senior photos. Like they want it to be relevant. They want it to be cool, but they want it to be executed well. Do you feel like that there are less people that are wanting finished product?
I think that's a education piece of the public, I guess, or of the consumer, is they think files are control and
yep.
more options and cheaper and everything, and really done and well-crafted and done is the real thing. Like we're actually going to do it. It's not going to sit on your to-do list for the next 6 months and then graduation is coming and you're panicking. And then you call
yes.
me and say, oh my God, I need you to get this done in 3 days.
Yes.
So I'll say to the naysayer, I will sell them on saying, we're just going to help you get it done. Almost like we're forcing you to come in and make your decisions. And then we're going to have you come pick it all up and everything. And then you're just going to go, oh my gosh, it's done. I love that. And
yes.
And you probably wouldn't have done it otherwise. And that's in itself valuable. So our main marketing is pickup day photos. When people come in and pick up their stuff, that's always captured and on our Instagram, that here's Amy with all of her product
yes.
sitting there. And what's awesome is sometimes there's little film reels we'll do and of the kids looking at the books, and some of the comments they say are like, I'm like, it's real. Like, and they're like tangible. It's a,
yes.
They don't exist in print except for maybe some sports pictures or whatever, but it's everything is they're used to flipping on their phone. And
yeah.
Now it's like a real book that's tangible and made of matter or whatever, however you say that.
Yeah.
It's like a real thing and they can hold it. And
well, and I think that as things go more AI and become, I mean, I think, man, could we be more online than we already are? But we will be more. Like, we'll look back at this time and think, oh my gosh, we weren't even online compared to how
yeah,
the future
yeah.
is,
when
right?
We're in the metaverse and
for sure.
You and I are sitting in a virtual coffee shop.
Right, right. I think those artifacts are going to be even more precious and more just like this, as you see that the AI imagery becomes so perfect and the younger, the people that are on the cutting edge trend are trying to like, how do you introduce that imperfection so that you can tell that it doesn't look like AI,
yeah,
you know, so
yeah,
like just what we were saying, authentic, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like the going back to records, you know, actual albums rather than digital streaming, that you can hear that needle. I think that there's always going to be that tension between those two things, and we can provide that. But also to your point about just it's done, that we're selling to people that have more money than time. And all of us are those people in some area of our life.
Right.
All of us are those people, even if we're not rich people. There are things that maybe we know how to do. It doesn't matter if I know how to do it. I don't want to do it. I know how to clean my house. I don't want to clean my house.
Yeah.
I want it done every week for me.
Yep. And that was something in this new level lifestyle. That was Teresa's first wish was, I don't want to clean the house anymore. And having that done, I don't want to pull my dock out anymore. I have a guy that has a crane that does it in 6 minutes and it's a few hundred dollars, and it's
pulls like, your dock out. What do you mean? What's that?
Oh, so in a lake house, you know, we bought a lake house last year and the lakes freeze here. So
okay.
You have to get your lake dock out of the water for the winter.
Got it.
And that means six guys, three on each side, walk in the water in the October cold water and haul it out. And here a guy and his employee come and like lift the thing out and put it down in minutes. And that's kind of what we are. Yes, you could go take your own kids' pictures and have them giving you expressions that are like, I hate you and whatever.
Yeah.
And instead, we're giving a chance to bond with somebody and create images that other people aren't going to get. And then
yeah.
print them and finish them and hang them and everything and it's done. And that's kind of the attitude we've taken is, and because time is so limited, yes, I will pay. I'm better at taking pictures for money and you're better at painting that wall than I am or whatever. And you will
crafting that language for that will or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever it is. I miss the days of professional craftsmen across the board. The idea of the do-it-yourselfer is kind of not great for society as a whole.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like that if we, it only has the power that we give it, right? Like when, so when clients call and they say, I literally just before we got on today, I had a client call or a potential client call and she was, I think she must've been an auctioneer, like literally was talking so fast. I've never heard anybody, I talk fast, but wow. And she was like, okay, so we're going to be, I've got my kids in town that's going to be the weekend of Thanksgiving. Can you do it? We need it in studio. And somebody gave me your number that you do in studio. And so, and this is what we need. And I only need a few shots and we're going to do holiday card with it. And, you know, basically just telling me what she needed, which was great. But I was like, okay, hold on. Let's slow down. Let's tell me more. What is it that you're wanting to do? And it's obvious that she knows our industry, that everybody just does a few files and gives them to them, you know, for X number of dollars. And so it's like, I was starting to talk with her about how we work. And it was just like, wait, what? It doesn't even exist in so many people's mind and the consumer's mind, what we do.
Yeah. And that's the client education. And that's where we're lacking, I think, because a lot of the behind the scenes of the industry and the people that are trending high are, look at how much fun this is. We're out having fun shooting, but it isn't talking about the order appointment and the narrowing down. I tell my clients, we're going to post your slideshow after the order appointment. And I will tell you the top 20 responses. All your friends are going to, mom's friends are going to be on there being like, oh my God, how is she a senior already? Oh my gosh, how are you ever going to choose? And whatever. And the funny thing is it's already done. Like, wasn't that easy? We sat down, we went through them, we narrowed down and we guided in it. You don't have to choose. There's an album because our generation thinks you're going to get at best eight images in a leather folio, or in some people, my case, it was one image. Like, which one do you like? And you don't have to choose. It's, you're getting a whole book of them and you're getting the reason I'm showing you this slideshow and the reason you're seeing all these images on social media is because you already own them. Like, you've done the process and you have it all and you don't have to decide. So, but they probably didn't know that prior to calling and going through the consultation and those things we had to educate them on. And I think some more mass media, social media things where we're educating them on that, educating the masses on it would be beneficial to getting people to understand, teach them what they don't know, like you're talking about that. Wait, what? No, it's just show up. And we've had people back in the, when we took families off the website recently, because so much of it was drowned out and I didn't have a competitive advantage in my feeling or in my mind. So people would call and want, I need that scenario. We're going to have the kids in town this weekend and we'd like to get some pictures. And I'll say, okay, let's start with where would you like to do it? What is the goal of the pictures? Do you want something on the wall or do you want an album of the day? Or, and then they pan, and what do you want to wear and what color is your room? And they panic. And this is way more than I thought it was going to be, not money, just way more effort and thinking. And right. I haven't gotten that far. I just know I want pictures.
Right.
And so, yeah, that whole slow down, let's talk about these things. And we've had some people just like totally panic and back out and they just go find somebody that will take pictures because sure. Right now I don't know that answer. I just want pictures.
Right. But... Well, and I think that it's a common error that, and I make it still where you kind of dump on them. Like, here's how it works. And it seems like this really big, scary process. But just in this conversation that I was having this with this woman earlier, I think if you can like have a breath and say, you know, what our clients want us for, and this definitely applies to you. Our clients don't want to know how it's going to be shot. They don't want to pick out clothes. They don't want to pick out framing. They don't want to deal with anything. They just want to walk down their hall and have beautiful imagery on their wall. And somehow it got there and we're in charge of that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for you, like our clients don't want to know, like they want us to tell them, they want us to handle it, to tell you like, here's where we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to do it. And then here's your storybook of your senior and then send me a bill. Like that's what they want. And so that is a different clientele than meet me in a field and give me a bunch of files that I'm going to go DIY. And there's no middle. There's no middle. There's no hybrid. People are like, oh, I'm going to do a little bit of both. Nope, that doesn't exist. Those people, the middle is gone. I mean, we, you know, like we said, we're not going to talk about politics, but it's gone.
Yep.
So it's either this down here, like quick and dirty, or it's the full boat, but there really is no middle anymore, at least right. for us.
No, that's very true. Or sometimes it's in real time, you realize people are realizing about themselves, they're one or the other. Yeah, the middle is, yeah. I think I'm middle class, but all of a sudden you realize, well, you either do that or you don't.
And right.
I think like, so we're looking at building a garage. And if I just call the consumer equivalent would be, I call the contractor and say, I need a garage. And he's like, okay, so how many cars, how many stalls, how big, what kind of trim, what color, what all those things. We can't just build a garage. We need to kind of work together to come up with a plan.
Right.
And he could say, I look at your house, here's what I would do. Here's a plan, here's a rendering.
Right.
Done. And,
right.
and I would say, I love it. And that's probably the case you're talking about. And I think sometimes we battle with the people that just know they want to park their car in a garage, but they have no idea what color and what it's going to look like. And we need.
And that's everybody. And you and I are those people in different industries, right? We don't, like, you don't know from garage building, you know? So it's like, look, you know, so somebody that's going to be really good for you, that's going to be a good contractor is going to say, look, for $5,000, you can go get a, like a tough shed kind of thing, like with some sticks and a roof on it that you can park. It's like a carport.
Yeah.
And then actually we 10 because you got to pour a slab, right? So you could, for like $10,000 to $15,000, you can get something like that. Now, if you're wanting to build a garage, the word like, if you want to have an apartment above the top of it so that your cat can live in it or your mother-in-law or, so again, what does that do? That's painting a possibility that you hadn't even thought of before. Like, hold on a minute. I thought I was just building a garage, but I could have a mother-in-law quarter for my mother-in-law that I love so much that when she gets old, she could live. Okay. Oh, well, maybe I want a casita with a garage. Maybe I want something more than just a garage, but where if it's like, okay, well, here's 4 sticks and a roof and a slab and it's going to be $20,000. That doesn't sound great.
Correct.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, we have to take control of it and just own the fact, like, honestly, my 5-year-old granddaughter the other day, you're going to die. This is so good. I need to make a masterclass out of this. So she's playing store with me and she's got like her little Fisher Price toys out and she's like, okay, grandma, come into my store. And so she gives me money. And I says, well, how much is that? Like, it's like a little Barbie. And she looks over at the money in my hand. I kid you not. And she's like, well, how much do you have? Like, she's going to tell me what the price is based on what it is. And I'm like, no, don't look at my money. You know, tell me. So I buy the things. And then a little bit later, she says, well, is that all? Don't you want more things? And I said, well, I don't think I have any more money. And I said, well, what about that little record player? And she says, oh, it's $20. And I said, oh, that's a lot of money. And she goes, yep. Now, if a 5-year-old can just own the price,
she's been.
What are we doing? Yeah, but I mean, yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, oh, can you come? You could. She could actually sell for me right now. At five.
Yeah. I mean, it's in her blood.
Totally. Well, I mean, yeah. And then she says, so then the end of it was, I said, okay, well, I think I'm done. And she goes, well, what about this? She holds up another toy. I said, I don't know if I have enough money for that. She goes, that sister, this is my sister that lives down the street. That sister over there would love that. Like, she's upselling me, you know? So it's, I think you guys are genius at this, is just knowing what people want. Also, you're always pushing yourself to the next level and then just talking about it, right? So like having the on social media where they're picking up the finished product and like that is painting an image, a vision that their friends are not getting that. Like the meeting somebody in a field, they're not getting that.
Right. Yep. And that's kind of the when you can say with the long term in business, you can say, trust me, I've been through this many times. This is what you're going to want to do. And that's when I build a garage, I go to the person that is going to tell me that don't skimp on this part.
Yeah.
Don't go 24 feet, go 28 feet. You're going to want the doors to open. All those things that they know as an expert, and the, not to categorize, but the good consumer is somebody who trusts you and is willing to be open-minded and be educated and learn. And then those are the, we refer to them as our most satisfied clients. So when somebody says, how much is it? Well, some spend more and some spend less. We find that our most satisfied clients spend between here and here. And that way, I had recently somebody said at the end of the order, they said, how do you feel? Did I do everything right here? And I kind of hesitated and she caught me on that. And I said, well, in all honesty, I feel like we left a wall portrait on the table here. You didn't go with that. And I think you did great. I think you did great for the goals that you were aiming for. But I think we created something extraordinary where your daughter felt absolutely like an angel and we left it on the table. It's an 8x10 and it needs to be a 40-inch portrait. And I get it that that's not your lifestyle and everything, but you're truly asking my opinion of, did I do everything right? And I'm totally, integrity's everything to me. So I'm going to just be authentic and tell you that's my feedback. That's honestly, I'm not trying to sell you on it. I'm just letting you know, honestly, that's how I feel. And I think that planted a seed of, I'm probably going to come back and get that before she graduates. So either way, it's a win-win. I got to tell her how I authentically feel. And if she does it, she does it. But that isn't my overall goal. It's just wanted to answer her honestly. But
well, I think, and I think that that rings true. People can feel if you're, if it's a sales technique, because I guarantee you've also done it the reverse way. Like if you felt like they went too big.
Yes.
You've also said, you know what? Actually, I don't think it needs to be quite that big. Like, I think we could dial it down. So, I mean, that's just integrity selling.
Yeah. It's not a greasy, ugly thing for those that don't do it. I think it's my favorite part. It's the last piece of the entire studio I would ever give up. And that's rare.
I think.
But I will sooner hire a photographer to take over the
same
creation piece so that I can work with the client and do the sale. And I don't ever want to put a high pressure commission person in there. Mm-mm. So
no, because it's a, I don't know. It's like, it's a tender relationship, you know, and it's, that's awesome. Okay. What else? What are the thoughts? What are your, like the future? What do you feel like? I know we're kind of in a weird time, at least in our country, where things don't feel super certain for, you know, everybody in the world. Feels like the other one side's out to kill them. So, you know, like we're a little divided, a little scary. So I think that does play into consumer confidence. Where do you feel like our industry, like, because you're friends with a lot of industry leaders, you're having those conversations a lot. Where do you see that things are going? What are your thoughts?
I've heard what we mentioned a little bit, that the middle class is gone. And so you have to make a decision. You either want, and we ride the line between the two. We do volume sports teams. So that's my 80% working with them. And then my 20% is the way we run our studio proper, we'll say. And so the senior clients, the family clients, the commercial clients, that isn't cheap. That's not the middle or the lower market. It's everything is top dollar, top quality. And then the volume side is affordable, mass quantity, and dollar per hour. We kind of balance the two. That, and I tell the people that basically walk away from the studio side and say, I don't get it. This is that. And I'll say, you have to imagine you're a co-op and 50 of your friends are sharing my time amongst each other and all chipping in $20. That's what, or you can have an hour of private, and that's what, and when it's all about you, or 3 hours of private and a finished album and everything. So that's the way I explain the economics of it to them. And then they get it. So they're like, okay, so, and then that has turned into some more volume teams. Like, so you mean if I get my daughter's softball team to come to you, we can create that stuff and I can be the beneficiary of being one of 20. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. You can hire me privately. There's plenty of people that do that. Or you can do this. So where's the industry going? It was your question.
Okay, hold on. You just said something genius and brilliant. And I want to like explore that a little bit, because I feel like if somebody's listening to this, they're going to miss this. But I'm putting a pin in where the in future industry. I'm writing it down right now. Future industry. Okay. But I want to go back to this. Okay. So I think, because we didn't even talk about volume. So you have a hybrid business. You have a volume and then you have a high-end luxury brand. So what I want to ask you, the thing that drives me absolutely insane and makes me want to just shake people by the shoulders until their brain rattles in their head is that people are charging volume prices while giving luxury service. And that is mainly women. I love you girls, but like seriously, do you see that?
1,000%. Yeah, that is the downfall of the industry, I guess, or where all the negative.
Let's kill ourselves. Let's shoot for 6 hours. Let's do 75 outfits. Let's give you the experience. Let's have the fun. Let's do all these things. And then, so the time is up here. We're not on video, but my hand is really high. And then the money is down here. And so what you're saying, just because I want to call that out again, what you're saying to the client, the volume client that says to you, hold on a minute, you're charging me $50 for this over here, and yet it's going to be $5,000 for me to work with you over here. How do you reconcile that? And you're saying, look, you're one of many over here. You're one of one over here. How can we get that into the minds of the photographers in our industry?
The first thing, I teach my Grand Experience program on the platform, and I basically do some coaching for business. And the first thing, the best coach, I went to a private workshop for 3 days with the other you in the world, Rachel Martin. And she threw my stuff at me and said, if you're not willing to change this, then there's no point in doing the rest of this trip. And
not really to change.
Then she kicked me out of the studio for the day. We went home. We went back to the hotel and came in the next day with our tail tucked, realizing it's time to level up and do this. But what she did was she challenged me with a time audit. And she said, how much time do you put into every senior you work with? And that doesn't mean, oh, we have a 3-hour session, the end. And that's so many people think that.
Yes. Like,
I'm getting paid $500 an hour for a 1-hour session or whatever. No, you're not. There's all the marketing beforehand. That's before the client even calls you. Then there's the client call and the back and forth, the emails, that. Then we do an in-person consultation. So that's an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. Then there's all the putting away those notes, planning things, calling the bus company to let them know we're coming to the garage to do the shoot there, et cetera, et cetera. Then the actual session. Then there's the copy of the card. There's the backup. There's the edit. There's the call, the edit, the create the sales presentation. And I guessed 12 to 15 hours, thinking, yeah, that's probably about right. And then we mapped out the entire thing. And at that point, we were at 18 hours.
Yep.
And then she said, now let's start finding all the other things. And we got up to 21 hours per senior client. So a $5,000 average sounds awesome, but when you divide that down by 20 hours, it's good, but it's not thousands of dollars an hour. So it's a misconception. So yeah, when the field photographer is out there at 7 o'clock at night, they should be home with their kids or having dinner with their family or whatever it be. And they're out there for an hour and it's $200. And then they go home and they copy the card and they do all this stuff. And they end up spending 5 hours for $200. That's $40 an hour, minus the taxes, minus the cost of all the overhead and everything. And they're spinning their wheels and shooting themselves in the foot. And the average photographer lasts 3 years when they start to realize that truth, that they're just not making it. And that's where you and I come in and teach people that here's how you actually should be priced and PPAs, benchmark, and all the things that try and tell people you're not doing it right. That isn't because we're protecting our high-end studio. We realize you're going to burn out and quit because I've seen it hundreds of times in 15 years. So
it's hard what we do. You know, it's like once you know your lighting, it's so much problem solving on the fly. And I mean, and it's valuable.
I break everything down to hourly, and I've got some friends that are moving to a non-IPS digital file setup, but they just don't have the means to put all the effort into getting all that money off the table. And they're proving to me, they're saying 3 hours, 45 minute session, an edit, a download, $1,500. I'm making a better hourly rate than you are, Nate. And they're established. They've built a reputation that has that higher command for an hourly rate. But that's where I think things are going to go, because I think there's more do-it-yourself people. So pay us for the creative time, the creation, more than the markup on the product, right, is probably the next phase. And there will be a middle ground of product that's achievable. And then there will be the Gregory Daniels and the people that have like the one of a kind, really high end product. But yeah, I think the mass market will go to pay for creativity and have that be appreciated, not $200 sessions, more like $1,000 and $1,500 yeah, sessions, and then $1,000 worth of product, but at way lower rates than yeah, potentially, or like the do-it-yourself links and things like that.
Yeah. Well, and I think also, and I know who you're talking about, but I think also you just deciding like, how do you want to live? You know, with you, with both of you now, it's like, how do you want to live? Is this level of work sustainable when, as we age, you know, are we going to be like on a ladder, you know, like, you know, so yeah, it's like, you got to kind of start thinking about like, okay, what's next? Do I hire an associate photographer, you know, and what does my life look like going forward? And so for some people that don't, that's not their main income, and maybe it's a side hustle or just a supplementary income, then they really can kind of like make it however they want. You know, it doesn't have to be so dire.
Correct. Yeah. Once it becomes like I remember the Dane Sanders and the Fast Track Photographer, that was my era of getting into this. The goal was quit your full-time job and make this your life. And once you do that, especially once your wife leaves her career and joins you, all those eggs are in that basket. And yep, the stress of I always say, this is for real. Like, it isn't, yeah, we're not playing anymore. We really have to make this much to pay our bills and to do this stuff. So the fun gets severely hampered.
Curbed.
But yeah, once that's why you balance your lifestyle and everything. And yeah, we did well prior to COVID. And then when COVID happened and the true rug was ripped out, all of a sudden we didn't know what the future held. We never panicked. It was like we were financially fine. And that's kind of a good lesson on, like they talk about, have 6 months of salary put away. We don't know what AI is going to do, and we don't know all those things. But going down the rabbit hole of negativity is not great, or is not the solution for it. So counseling sessions like this are incredible.
helpful. It's helpful to talk. I'm really good at talking other people off the ledge. I'm not great at talking myself off the ledge. I'm really good at talking to other people off the ledge, but I think to your point, I think it is what you make it, and your future can be what you want it to be. It might not be exactly how you think it's going to happen, but I just find that when you're all in, like those of us who are all in, like it has to work. It has to work.
Yeah.
So we're not out spouting theories,
right,
yeah, that are not real.
Yeah. And that's what to come back to TCPPA, I'm on the speaker committee there. And that's why we beg people like you to come. The people we bring in, the number one litmus test with them is, are you really walking the walk? We don't want the people that are selling 20-year-old marketing techniques and they sold their studio a long time.
Right.
Like, it's literally people who are in the trenches and finding the time to give back to the industry like that. And those are the magic people to talk to. And if you're listening and don't have those people in your life or whatever, I think that's how we, like that monthly injection of going and sharing and listening and everything is what keeps you, talks like this. I said to Teresa the other day, I was driving to a job somewhere and I listened to one of your episodes and I wish I could think of which one it was. And I said to her, that was exactly what I needed to hear right now.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it was something along today's lines of a counseling session where it was, you do that well, talk people off the ledge and just give a wise perspective at, don't listen to yourself. I mean, that's my inner thoughts are, listen to yourself. Did you just introduce the entire thing sounding like the world is ending? And then here's a different perspective. Have you looked at it like this? And it wakes you up to, yeah, no, things are going to be good because they have to be. I know we're capable and I know we're creative and we'll figure out whatever is thrown at us. And
well, and what you do, what we do is important. And, but, you know, going back to COVID, I remember, and I think I've probably told this story before, but it was like, let me think, maybe November of 2020. It might've been earlier than that, maybe the fall of 2020, but actually, sorry, it wasn't. I'm going to cut that part out. It was not long after they shut everything down, but they were going to slightly open stuff up. And in the West out here, everybody thought it was fake. So nobody was, you know, everybody's out on the golf course and nobody was taking anything seriously, you know? So, but I was worried because I thought, okay, is this going to end my business? Like, what am I going to do? And the comfort was that the whole world was in the same position, right? That rarely happens. Usually that's not the case. But I remember just thinking, like sitting in front of my studio in my car and just thinking, Allison, you have spent, then it was 15 years building relationships with people. This is not going to go away. It might be hampered. It might have to be done in a different way. But those relationships, like if it was a one and done, if I had like a telemarketing machine, like, and there are other ways to do business and I recognize that, but if it was just like one and done and quick fix, I would be worried. But like, these are people that I know, their kids. Like, you know, for you, it's, I've photographed their older siblings. You know, you have these relationships with these coaches, with these schools. Like, this is stuff that you have spent years building the foundation on. And when you have that foundation, you can count on the foundation and the reputation.
Yeah. And yeah, being honest and having good integrity and not, I just had a talk with a mom the other day who was apologizing that it wasn't enough. She's sorry that it was a smaller order. And I said, and then I they had some serious life circumstances going on. And I just said, you know what? Life happens. And I said, I could have, it was a year later that they're ordering things. And,
yeah.
And then it was a minimal order from that. And I said, here's the thing. I could have really jammed, I could have been really salesy and mean and whatever. And instead, the next year you brought your senior to me again, knowing that you're still not out of the woods. And we never would have been here where you are ordering some stuff from last year. And in the meantime, you brought a senior. That there's just do unto others. And I can't imagine jabbing somebody for as much as I can get out of them and then kicking them out the door, because the potential of who they talk, she also talked to somebody else who they came in. So it's, yeah, that spider network of your reputation is everything, and that's
everything.
Keeps us whole. Internal too. It's like I would never want to be, I would have such a guilt on me that I wouldn't sleep. So
yeah, that sleep, being able to look at the ceiling fan at night and not have those kind of worries is a good one. Well, it's been wonderful to spend this time. We'll definitely do this again, because I have at least 2 more hours of questions and things I want to talk to you about. But thank you for sharing your thoughts. Thank you for being vulnerable enough to share that everything is not always perfect. But we will link to in the show notes to your website and to your Instagram. Definitely go check out Nate's work. Their work is beautiful and will give you some like really good inspiration. And anything that you want to send our listeners off with as maybe a word of encouragement as we sail off into the sunset.
Yeah, well, first I'll say thank you to you again. This has been a great honor to be here. Keep up the good work. I know this probably is kind of like being on the board for TCPPA. It's just, it costs you money, I imagine, to do this podcast, but the injection of knowledge and everything is just priceless to those of us that get it and appreciate listening to it. And it's my version of editing music. It's just awesome to listen to all the time and keep your brain going. So thank you very much. I'm going to take the opportunity to pass on the very first thing that was told to me by my very first person that recognized a talent and told me to, this is the industry and everything. And all he simply said, just honor the industry. When you learn everything you're learning, I think this industry, like in the tech industry before this, the guy that taught me my job would literally kick the people out of their cubicles and cover up the monitor when he was fixing whatever we were fixing in IT.
My brother.
Because you wanted job security over everything. And it was such a shady way to do life. And when I found the photography industry and the best guy in the industry, Dave Junin, recognized me from Wisconsin and at this convention he was hosting, and he said, "You should swing by my studio sometime." And I just kind of went, "Who, me?" And yeah, he just basically opened the doors and showed me everything, the way it works. And that's what TCPPA does. That's what we're the community above competition. We rise all the ships with the tide, that whole everything. So honor the industry, don't undercut each other, and be nice and be sell with integrity. And that is what the key to success is. So
I love it. Thanks, Nate. You're the best.
Oh, thank you very much. Look forward to the next time.
Hi, Rework friends. It's ATJ. Just jumping on to wish you the happiest of holidays. I hope that you get a chance to rest up from all the crazy and spend great quality time with those you love the most. We are so thankful for your time and attention for this last season of the Rework podcast, and look forward to seeing you in early 2026 to kick off the new year with a whole bunch of great guests and information to help you uniquely brand, profitably price, and confidently sell your very best work. Happy holidays.
You can find more great resources from Allison at dotherework.com and on Instagram at do.the.rework.